Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Wrestling Daily. You are not joined by Alex McCarthy today. As you can see, you're joined by myself, who is filling in for Alex, who has a bit of work commitments right now. And as always, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means. So we have got SP3 in the hot seat, and we've got a lot of news to dive into. So SP3, how you doing, man?
I am doing great. It's Wednesday, and you know what that means. SP3 is on Wrestling Daily, not with his brother from an Irish mother, but my brother from a Good Money Hot Take brother that is known as Louis Dan Gore, the future face of UK wrestling journalism. We're going to talk about some Danny O'Brien news, some Danny O'Brien Mount Rushmore talk about his career. So this is going to be a fun show. I'm ready to go, Louis. And I love your hairdo. It's a little like koof. It's like a little like a skunk, like the bottom of a skunk. It's like you got that on your head. This is cool.
I went to bed last night, showered, knew I wasn't on camera today. So I was like, oh, screw it. Then I have to comb my hair when I shower. Then I got a message from Alex McCarthy like, hey, I'm caught up at work. Can you do the show? And I'm like, yeah, I can. But you mentioned the Daniel Bryan news. And also, while we are here, I've managed just to break the USB port of my camera, which is why I'm on my laptop. That's fun. So, before we dive into the news, the Daniel Bryan stuff, obviously, it was reported that, he left SmackDown after the SmackDown match with Roman Reigns, after the Universal Championship match. And a lot of people were confused and sort of not sure where the direction was. So I want to play you a clip from last night's show. Let me see if I can do this right. Video file. Again, make sure I do the right one. Okay. So.
Disagree. I think he's done full-time, 100%. Like, not 100% because you're going to be 100%. But from what he's saying in interviews, I don't think he's pulling a leg. I just genuinely think he wants to be a dad and he wants to spend more time with his kids. I think he's done full-time. However, I don't think WWE will let his contract lapse. Knowing he's not like a Brock Lesnar thing, where I think Vince is pretty confident that Brock won't go to AEW. I think Vince is pretty confident of that. With Bryan, there's always that chance. So I think WWE will basically offer him a Edge-type deal, a Brock Lesnar-type deal even, where he is able to work those part-time dates, but he is signed to WWE, because I just cannot foresee a world where Daniel Bryan is a free agent and AEW doesn't do everything in their power to make sure they sign him. And I think WWE knows that and Vince knows that. So I think I would be shocked if WWE let his contract expire and let him become a free agent. I think it is far more likely he signs just a part-time deal, not a Legends deal, but a part-time deal with significantly reduced dates.
So, on today's episode of Wrestling Daily, we are going to be covering the news that Daniel Bryan's contract has expired.
Yeah, this is me. This is me coloring you shocked.
I am shocked. I woke up to the news that Daniel Bryan is no longer part of WWE mere hours after I said what I said on Wrestling Daily last night. Mere hours. I go onto Twitter and I see. Actually, sorry, I didn't even see it on Twitter. I woke up to the news because it was overnight. I was like, Daniel Bryan's like not been released, but his contract's expired. I can't believe it. I honestly can't believe it. So SP3, talk us through your reaction, because we know mine was shock. Were you as perplexed as I was about this news?
I always was under the impression that there was more to this story. I felt like everybody saying, oh, you know, his contract doesn't expire to September, so they're doing this now so he can have a run with NXT. I'm sorry. Like, I heard this song and dance so many times in the past. A guy that's making Daniel Bryan money going to NXT on WWE's choice? No. That's not going to happen. Like, I never believed that. I think I said it on a couple of different shows on True Heel Heat that my belief was that Daniel Bryan was going to Monday Night Raw, that they needed not only someone on camera, they needed someone in their creative team to kind of speak up and, you know, better use underutilized talent, which I will give them credit for. You know, Monday Night Raw has a whole bunch of problems, but this past week they did focus on the underutilized talent, so it had me believing maybe Daniel Bryan is making his first night in the creative room, and that's why we're seeing Garza, that's why we're seeing Gulak, that's why we're seeing all these Mansoor debut. And then this news comes out, and it's just like, I'm not shocked, but it does kind of make me vindicated that I did kind of feel like there was something more to this story, that it didn't seem like the WWE type of move to move him from SmackDown to NXT. And even from SmackDown to Raw, this seems kind of random, like after WrestleMania, to do this when Edge was already on Raw. So you could have just kept him there if you wanted this babyface type of like legend there. So this kind of makes me feel kind of better and more understanding the decision to make that match between Bryan and Reigns, you know, him being banished from SmackDown. I think SmackDown is sorely going to miss him because he's been really an anchor for the entire team, whether on camera or in the creative room. But this is just very surprising that WWE hasn't really, you know, done that final big push in re-signing him, you know, right now, because we've seen WWE in the past, if they want to like make a final push to re-sign someone, we saw Gallows and Anderson kind of win the Raw tag team titles around when their contract was expiring, which led to them re-signing. We saw the same with the Revival. That didn't work out for WWE, but this is something that they've done time and time again. When a person's contract is expiring, throw them a title belt, convince them everything's going to be all right, and then they re-sign. I think Daniel Bryan was more of the mind state, I'm going to further help Roman Reigns establish himself as the top star and top heel on SmackDown. So that's going to be my final act. And I'm out of here. So I think that the next couple of months, he's going to be off TV completely. I think it's going to be like a 4 to 6 month period where he's not on TV at all. And if he does return to WWE, it's going to be in a part-time role. I think you're muted.
Sorry about that. So who do you think, or where do you think Daniel Bryan goes next from here? Like you, I'm also in agreement. I cannot see this being a long-term. I can see this being quite a long-term exodus, maybe 4 to 6 months. I do think maybe we see, I don't even know if we see him back this year. But where do you think he goes? Do you think we see him in an AEW? Or are you one of those people that thinks this is similar to the Brock Lesnar deal, where Brock Lesnar is also a free agent right now, but there's the expectation when he's ready to come back, he will re-sign with WWE. Do you think this is going to be one of those instances? Or do you think he really, and he has said in interviews before, he's going to go and work CMLL. He's going to go and work for all these different promotions. So what do you think, call it the next year, looks like for Daniel Bryan?
Like I said, I think he's going to take the next 6 months off. And I think before he re-signs his WWE deal, I think we will see him in a different promotion. Wow. I think that it would make more sense for a CMLL or a AAA, because they're not too much on WWE radar. It's not something that WWE really deals with, and not something that WWE would see as conflicting. It's a little bit like if Daniel Bryan comes to Vince McMahon and says, hey, I want to do this Arena Mexico show where I'm putting my hair on the line against Psycho Clown. And I think that Vince is just going to be like, oh, it's Mexico, I don't really care about that. Sure, go ahead. Because that's literally what he did with Omega versus Jericho in 2017, 2018. That backfired on him. let's all remind everybody.
Oh, it did.
It backfired big time because that is one of the most important and biggest drawing matches of the past decade and created AEW. I'm not saying that Daniel Bryan going outside of WWE will have that same effect, but once you smell the roses outside of the WWE prison ground, it seems that you're not very likely to go back. So I don't know if that would be the best decision for WWE. And it kind of makes sense why Fightful is reporting that WWE is still making this big push to re-sign him, because if he does anything outside of WWE, they might lose him forever.
Yeah, I completely agree too. I think that, again, Dave Meltzer reported this as well, and Fightful Select, WWE is pushing hard to get him back. And of course, they will be. I think this is going to be a Brock Lesnar-like situation where Daniel Bryan's next match will be in WWE, for me anyway. I think my point... Yesterday I said I don't think his contract will expire, and I was clearly very wrong with that. I will say I didn't put good money on it, so that gimmick still stays 100% accurate.
That is true, but you're now transitioning gimmicks. You are like a gimmick machine. You're now the hot take king. You got sick of Steph getting all the credit as the hot take queen, and now you're the hot take king. I respect.
Well, we'll talk about my Daniel Bryan hot take in a minute, because it turns out it was not much of a hot take. With regards to Daniel Bryan, I think his next move is WWE. I can't see it. Where, for example, Triple H, with the world we live in now, where all companies are intertwined. If he comes into a company, he's realistically going to work a top program.
Yeah.
Kenny Omega's the top of AAA. Yeah. So it's like, yes, he can go to AAA, but a AAA going to be like, right, you can work this match, but it's not going to be for the title, meaning it won't be against Kenny Omega. Like, for me, I think CMLL is the only one I can see right now. Potentially, yeah. New Japan. I don't know. With the Kenny Omega link, I can't see AAA. But more realistically, for me anyway, I can see Kenny Omega, just his next, not Kenny Omega, Daniel Bryan, his next match being with WWE. I think that it won't be anytime soon. He is going to take this time off just to heal his body. He hasn't really had like a long, but he had a bit of a break last year with the pandemic, but not a long break since he returned. And he's got some bruises he needs to heal. I do think and spend time with his family. Yeah. When I was watching the Austin A&E show, Austin speaking about how he's now just getting to know his kids, because like he wasn't there to begin with. I know times are different now with the pandemic and not being on the road, but yeah, he's just getting to know his kids now. And I think that will resonate with a load of performers, because Daniel Bryan's kids are young, like Birdie's just starting school, and the youngest one, who I can't remember the name of.
Yeah, don't
really see. He watches many things, SP3, but he doesn't watch Total Bellas.
No, I do not.
So I think with his kids still being young, he's probably just going to want to spend time with them. And you know what? More the power to him. Fair play for that. For me, I think we see Daniel Bryan's next match in WWE. Just not for a while. If you guys want to get in your takes about this whole Daniel Bryan situation, maybe what you think the next move is, or maybe, you know what, if you think he's leaving WWE and is not going to return, give us some dream matches. I know the link below me is wrestletalk.com/wrestle2. That's because that was the link the last time SC3 and I did a show together. And we forgot to change the link. So it is wrestletalk.com/wrestlingdaily for your comments, questions, anything you want to ask regarding Daniel Bryan or anything else for that matter.
And to break some news, I looked it up while you were talking. I think it's Buddy Daniel.
Buddy, that's it. Because it's obviously Bree, Bryan, Buddy, Birdie. They're going for the bees. The quartet of bees. Obviously Wednesday night is debate night. Just because I'm in the hot seat instead of Alex McCarthy doesn't mean we will not be debating. And the topic, interestingly, I messaged SV3 earlier today. And I was like, listen, I'm thinking we should debate. Like, my hot take is Daniel Bryan is the greatest wrestler ever. I think we should debate that. And his response was, don't know how much of a debate there's going to be because he's my favorite ever. So it looks like we're in agreement with that. But later on in this show, we will be speaking about who are sort of the Mount Rushmore of Daniel Bryan opponents. So who we think maybe, and the way I'm going to approach this is not only who he had the best matches with, but who shaped the Daniel Bryan character? Who made the Daniel Bryan character what it is? Because I think both are just as important, maybe even the character side more so. So yeah, we'll be diving into that. So again, if you want to Ultra Chat, that's WrestleTalk.com/Wrestling Daily. Tell us who you think some of Daniel Bryan's biggest and most important opponents are. But before we get there, I do want to touch on the Tessa Blanchard news. Obviously, on Friday, it was reported that she was close to signing with AEW. Not just her, but her husband, Daga, as well, both formerly of Impact Wrestling. However, that is not the case from what we do here. And various wrestling journalists have come out and said, no. So do you want to take us through what's been reported and the latest on that situation?
So I believe it was SE Scoops was the one who originally reported that Tessa Blanchard and
Hang on, hold up.
Uh-oh, we have some breaking news.
It's a red on the BSometer, but go on. Sorry for rudely interrupting you. I felt like we haven't had it for a while, and this report really, really needed it.
Because even when I first read the report, I was like, all but a formality. Yeah, I'm gonna call BS on this one. So I'm glad the BS meter came back.
It was the line about them considering bringing her in with the redemption storyline that would acknowledge her prior controversies and her prior mistakes, which to me was like, really? Like, if you're going to do it, do you draw attention to it? Like, I guess that's one way to do it, to be like, we know this is a controversial signing. We're not going to hide away from that. But this is not what I would have done. So go on, take us through what's the latest.
So I believe it was first PW Insider and then Fightful as well as Wrestling Observer corroborated that this is not the case, that Tessa and Daga have not even been in like serious talks with AEW on getting a contract. They're not close to a deal. They're not in talks for a deal. They're not negotiating a deal. Basically, I think that AEW has gotten into the ears of the people at these more established news sources in wrestling. And they just said, no, I need you to shut this rumor down immediately, because it literally was like a avalanche of all the biggest news reporters coming out and saying that this is false. This is not the case. I felt like SC Scoots became ringside news with the amount of people that came out and tried to, you know, contradict their report. They haven't said anything since then, but I know Dave Meltzer also has vehemently denied that AEW is even in talks with Tessa Blanchard. So, I kind of was on the fence on it when that first report came out, that if it was real, how did I feel about it? I think we're at the point where people are going to have to decide whether, you know, they are still upset with Tessa, whether they're not, whether they feel like she should be with a major promotion or not. I'm a person that I can sometimes overlook a person's flaws and their mistakes if they're talented. I can still watch a Chris Benoit match, even though I despise what he did to his family and what he did in his life. But his matches are great. His matches are undeniably great for a person who can deal with still watching those matches. I can understand if you can't. Tessa Blanchard, on the other hand, she didn't do anything towards her family. She made mistakes. She was young. She was immature. She was disrespectful, partly racist. Didn't really want to like say that she did anything wrong, really didn't stand by her actions, didn't take responsibility for it. All of those are bad things, but Tessa Blanchard on talent alone is one of the top 10 best female wrestlers in the world. Like,
yep.
Regardless of how you feel about her, these are the facts, because she's crisp in the ring. Everything she does feels real. She has a certain intensity that I think if you asked me, name one female to go in the ring with like a Pentagon or even a Nick Gage in GCW, nine times out of 10, I'm going to pick Tessa Blanchard because she's hard as no, she's hard nosed. She's been in the intergender type of matches. She's a former Impact World Champion. She's made history in major promotions. So a signing like for her to AEW would be huge, especially for their women's division. It's just that too much time has not passed since this whole situation. So this would garner a lot of heat for AEW. And it's something that they have been very hesitant to acquire any heat. That's why they've let go of people like Jimmy Havoc in the past or B Priestley. A lot of that had to do with the travel situation, but a lot of that had to do with the speaking out movement. So I don't think that Tessa Blanchard is going to come into AEW in 2021 at all, to be honest with you.
Listen, WWE, if WWE is staying away from her, I think that says a lot as well.
It does.
And it's not because of the talent aspect, because as you said, and I will concur, I think Tessa Blanchard would walk into WWE and be on par with Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair, Charlotte Flair, even Becky Lynch to a point.
Yeah,
I think she has that presence, that star power. The name Blanchard has the credibility with it. WWE would love to do a Flair and Blanchard feud. Can you imagine the video packages they would play of their fathers? But I, like you, I don't think either company is going to do it. I think her future is in Mexico,
yeah,
with a AAA, mainly AAA, to be honest. Obviously, her husband Dog is there. I think that's where her future lies, personally. I would just like to say, though, let me get this up. I'm going to share screen again. I'll tell you what, it's proper techie when I'm on the show, isn't it? Here we go. Right. That's not what I was supposed to show. Hold up. That was just my Twitter feed. We're getting something. Basically, I knew this was so you mentioned who was the first to corroborate this.
Yes.
Or to denounce this. So here we go. There we go. We got it.
We're in there.
Share screen. Chrome tab. Boom. Right. I have a funny story about this.
Uh-oh.
So I was this one. There we go. Look at this. Right. Do that. Boom. Enlarge this. So I was, this is tweeted at 10:47. I was in the pub, drunk, received a text saying, "Is Tessa Blanchard close to joining AEW?" I asked a few people, was told no, and tweeted this while intoxicated at the pub. On Friday night. So I think a drunk Louis Dangor was actually the first to denounce, the first of the wrestling media Mount Rushmore to come out and denounce this report.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
funny story to corroborate your tweet here. I got a message in one of my many group chats on Facebook, and one of my good friends, I think it was True Jaw Josh, you've seen him over on True Hill Heat. He said, Tessa going to AEW, I'm surprised, but this should be interesting, or something like that. And I was like, and I screenshotted your tweet and sent it to him. I was like, Louis says no, Louis knows people, so I'm going to believe Louis over SE Scoops. So there you go, Louis.
It was one of those things. I'm never going to write a full report on it because at the A, I was drunk, so I couldn't. And B, it's one of those things where what went through my head when thinking about it the next day, it was the type of signing where the people that I was speaking to might just not have been aware. They might have been kept quite private because of the nature of the signing. Because it was Tessa Blanchard, I thought, is there any chance that AEW might just not have told talent, might not have told some of the people there? Are they just going to keep it quite a private thing? So I think that's why I didn't sort of go full out. But then when I saw Meltzer, PW Insider, and Sean all in sort of one day just go, nope, you're like, okay, there we go. But yeah, I mean, in terms of what you were saying earlier with separating the performer from, I guess, their actions, or the art from the artist, is sort of the way people phrase it. I think you've also, yes, as fans, yeah, 100%, I think that that's something we can do. Like you, I can review a show in the 90s, in the early 2000s, and praise a Chris Benoit match. I think that it is hard, and what he did was abhorrent and completely disgusting, the most despicable act. But you have to sometimes think about what's going on now. And I think that you might upset some members of the locker room. For example, some of the female talent that might have had a run in. I'm not sure if any of the talent in AEW were the ones that accused Tessa Blanchard. Well, I don't think so.
Well, Big Swole was one of the people that was in the locker room and kind of did confirm that she did say those words to La Rosa Negra. And she was one of the people that tried to get them back on the same page after the incident happened. So
I think it's one of those ones where you don't know how the talent are going to feel. And listen, if talent are consulted, cool. But sometimes talent might not be happy with sort of people with checkered past. And we do have to understand that as well. But yeah, I think that right now we're both in agreement that AEW is looking quite unlikely, if not completely impossible, for Tessa Blanchard right now. We've got a couple of Ultra Chats, which I want to dive into here. First one from Matthew Mikofsky. Oh, it's Matthew Mikofsky. Mitch Weiss, you've got a fantasy booking. He goes, okay, in a dream world, he doesn't resign. He goes wherever he wants, if that's in AEW or New Japan. How do you book his debut? I presume talking about Daniel Bryan. What does he do? Does he attack someone? If it's me, I would do double or nothing, like Moxie-type debut, attacking Kenny. Right. So I would just say, on that note, I don't think that suits Brian's character to like come through the crowd and like attack Kenny. I don't think that's not Brian. I think literally just have him walk out, like something's happening. Kenny's cutting. If it is AW, I'm going to let you go first because I'm going to think about this. If it is Kenny, for example, Kenny's cutting a promo, maybe the Dynamite after Double or Nothing, or immediately after his match with Double or Nothing. And it's like, guys, look, I'm the best. Out comes Daniel Bryan. And I think that would be so, so cool. I will say what I want to happen next, but go on for you, SV3. What if you're Daniel Bryan, how are you booking your next move?
All right. So we're going in the hypothetical standpoint. Yeah, so yeah. I would book it. I'm going to do the big picture booking and how he would debut and where I want him to go. You do King of Pro Wrestling at the end of the year for New Japan. You do Jay White versus Tanahashi. The whole storyline has been about Jay White telling Tanahashi that he's done. He's over it. He needs to retire. He's the only person to tell him this. So he beats him again for the Never Open Weight Championship. Tanahashi's cutting a promo, telling the people in Japan, like, I think Jay White is right. I think it's time for me to, you know, go on my way, retired. You know, I know everybody wants to see me in the Tokyo Dome at Wrestle Kingdom, but I think I'm done. And then Daniel Bryan walks out. You have it. I don't know what type of music you use. Use Final Countdown, please. Please bring me back my ROH days. Daniel Bryan comes down and he says that people been telling me the same thing, that I need to retire. But the one thing that I want to do is have a match at the Tokyo Dome against Mr. Wrestle Kingdom, Tanahashi. And you set up Bryan versus Tanahashi at Wrestle Kingdom 16.
I like it. I do like it. I like it a lot. It's the Bryan Tanahashi, man. It sounds so weird.
I did.
Right. What I would go for. You have, so I think you delay this. Full Gear, the match is Kenny Omega and Hangman Page, again, for the title. Kenny wins. So Hangman, again, you continue that storyline. I think you delay this for quite a while. After the match, he comes out and he's like, oh, beaten down, whatever. And he's like, listen, I am the best wrestler in the world. I've beaten all that AEW has to offer. I've beaten Moxley. I've beaten Hangman. Maybe Cody like climbs the rankings and he's like, Cody can't face me. There's literally no one here for me to face. And then out comes Daniel Bryan. I think you just play it straight like that. Like you said, just have him come out because he isn't the kind of like attack you from behind kind of person. He isn't the kind of like shock debut. Like, I think Moxie's worked so well for him. The imagery of him coming through the crowd like he would with the Shield. But for Bryan, I think the best, like Bryan's character is just, I'm just going to come and confront you face to face.
Exactly.
And I think that would be so cool. He's actually like, right, I am challenging you for double or nothing the year after. You delay the whole thing.
Wow.
You delay it. You have like a long feud. And he's like, right, I'm going to face you at maybe Revolution to make it like fair, like the next pay-per-view. He's like, right, Revolution next year, I'm going to face you for that world title. And that's literally how you end the show. Just a face-off between Kenny Omega and Daniel Bryan, which I think is the biggest match you can book, personally, out there for either man. But guys, in the comments, let us know, which one did you prefer? Maybe some suggestions for some stuff. Again, if you want those read out, that's wrestletalk.com/wrestlingdaily for your Ultra Chats. We have a comment here from Chris Petru who says, my boys, Louis and SV3 in the house today. I hope all is well. Do either of you have any hot takes for tonight's Blood and Guts show? As always, thank you for all the hard work. Wrestling Daily for life. Indeed, Wrestling Daily for life. Okay. Hot takes of tonight's show. I think if you've only watched NXT War Games, this is not going to be like that in the slightest. This is not going to be NXT War Games. I think we could just basically see the Pinnacle just annihilate in a circle, have it be quite one-sided. And just have the Pinnacle just trounce them and not actually, like, yes, they'll do some crazy spots, but the Pinnacle will be clearly better off after the match than in a circle physically. I think that'd be a great way to put them over in their first big match, put over like the brutality of Wardlow, the sort of pit bull nature of FTR, give Sean Spears some love. And I'd kind of have not MJF duck stuff, but like, these guys are as heavy. Just have them go out, and then he just comes in, gets the pin out of there.
I think that it should. I think the perfect ending, I think I've heard a couple of people say this as well, but I think that the Inner Circle should be, like, handcuffed to the cage or be in the other cage while the rest of the Pinnacle have Sammy Guevara and Chris Jericho in one ring. And they're just beating down on them. They're beating down on Jericho. But they're really focusing on Sammy. And they get like that stick that I think Santana was about to stab Dax Harwood with in the backstage beatdown. And they're about to like cut open Sammy's eye. And Jericho has to quit, forced to save Sammy. That should be the ending. It should be about Jericho sacrificing himself for his guys because that puts over the Inner Circle and their bond. At the same time, the Pinnacle look like vicious beasts and they get the win. So I think that that is the best way to put over everybody.
Listen, I like it. I really do. I think it's a Yeah, I think basically, I think we're both in agreement that Pinnacle have to win and should win and probably will win. That's what I think that could happen. I think sort of both of what we've said could happen. But I do like your storyline of maybe like, and I think it could work either way. Like Sammy gives up for Jericho or Jericho gives up for Sammy. I think either works. But I think Jericho quitting like for Sammy is brilliant. And then you build off into maybe MJF and Jericho. I have seen out there. Firstly, let me just put this up there. I think Brian shows up at Blood and Guts. I don't think that happens.
No,
that ain't happening. I just saw that and I was like, I don't see that happening. I had to bring that up. But I've seen this speculated. Chris Jericho could be wrapping up his career right now. That's what a lot of people are speculating. Do you think at Double or Nothing, we get MJF and Jericho's career on the line? Because this is what the whole story's been about. MJF wants Jericho's spot. Do you think he retires Jericho? And sort of to back that point up, I presume Fozzy are going to be doing a fair bit of touring this summer. It would kind of make sense for Jericho to take some time off. Do you think we could see Jericho maybe as part of this feud hang up his boots?
I could see that. I could see him taking a sabbatical and, you know, Jericho losing to MJF at Double or Nothing, taking a couple of months off, maybe returning in the fall right before Full Gear. And we do Jericho and MJF one last time and Jericho can finally get his victory, because this would, at Double or Nothing, presuming that they win tonight, the Pinnacle, that would be three straight losses that Jericho has taken to MJF in different scenarios. He lost a match for MJF to join the Inner Circle at Full Gear last year. He's going to lose Blood and Guts, and then he would lose at Double or Nothing. Eventually, if we are going to come back to this rivalry when Jericho returns, Jericho has to get the victory to kind of end the rivalry for good. And AEW has done a good job of having the babyface win be the blow off of certain rivalries. And I think that would be the best thing for Jericho and MJF. Or MJF gets the victory and then Jericho comes back and it has nothing to do with MJF. He's like, I'm not going to bother that young man because he took my spot and he left me. He had me leave this whole entire company.
Well, some interesting comments here. We've got, I don't think Jericho is retiring because of the Jericho Cruise. Again, an interesting point. Yeah. He can also not wrestle on that show, or maybe he's banished from AEW or something like that. I think it's very interesting. And I interviewed Sean Spears recently, last week, actually. And the big takeaway from that interview was, this isn't the end of the feud. This is the beginning of the feud. So where they go from here, I don't know how you go bigger than Blood and Guts. And I think one way you could do it, not in terms of match type and like how gruesome the match is going to be, I think in terms of a stipulation of Jericho's career on the line, ending a 30-year career, I think that's bigger than Blood and Guts. So yeah, I think that could be a way, and there's no other real, I guess, way that I can see AEW can top Blood and Guts. Because I think just like a standard Jericho-MJF match, yes, will be good from an in-ring point, but is it going to like really blow me away? No,
probably not.
So I think that we could see it for sure. Who knows? It's going to be very interesting. Every time AEW, I think, is going to go in one direction, they go in another direction. It's very interesting. All right, we've teased the people enough with the Daniel Bryan chat regarding his Mount Rushmore. I want you to talk to me, SP3, who are your Mount Rushmore for Daniel Bryan? Give me one to start. We'll do one at a time. So who is your number one? Maybe your fourth entry. So someone that like, you, not your most important, but your like fourth most important.
I'm going to say the person that I first thought of when I said the Mount Rushmore of Daniel Bryan rivals, because I think that me and Louis will have a different Mount Rushmore, a different four. Because my Mount Rushmore is about Bryan Danielson. It's not just about Daniel Bryan. It's not just about his WWE career. I have to include the people that shaped him before he even got to WWE. And the number one name,
mine is just WWE, in case you were curious.
Thank you. But ironically enough, the person that I first thought of is a person that's in WWE. They never cross paths in WWE, though, but he is a person that I would say is Bryan Danielson's greatest rival outside of WWE, and that is Nigel McGuinness. Nigel McGuinness and Danny O'Brien, Brian Danielson, they really paved the road for my fandom of Ring of Honor. Their matchup in the UK at Unified in 2006 for the Pure Championship and ROH World Championship is one of the most brutal, dramatic, and emotional matches that I've ever witnessed. Just Brian, you know, coming down with elbows to a bloody Nigel. Just awesome stuff. Then you had the rivalry that they had when Nigel turned heel and was World Heavyweight Champion against Danny O'Brien, Brian Danielson chasing him. They had the inter kind of rivalry with Morishima in the middle, who Morishima was feuding with Nigel and Brian Danielson at the same time. And then they had their final Ring of Honor match together when both guys were supposed to go to WWE. And that's finally where things separated, because everyone thought they're having their final match together in Ring of Honor. They're going to walk in WWE together. And then Nigel doesn't pass the physical. Brian goes on, becomes WWE champion, Grand Slam champion, and Nigel never gets his run in WWE. So it's such a great and dramatic and twist and turn type of story. Nigel McGuinness has to be in the Mount Rushmore for Brian Danielson.
Okay. I like it. I've obviously wasn't watching at the time. I've watched back, and yes, I can 100% agree with the Nigel McGuinness's importance in Daniel Bryan, particularly Bryan, but obviously Brian Danielson stuff. My number four, listen, he won't fit amongst the group of people. If we suggest eight different names, he will not be on this group. But it is The Miz.
We are in agreement. We are in agreement there. The Miz has to be in the Daniel Bryan, Brian Danielson
mount. For me, The Miz shaped Daniel Bryan's character to be what it is. He was the perfect antithesis of what Bryan was. Yeah. For me, putting them together in NXT was perfect. The perfect thing to do. It is like one of the best wrestlers in the world being like being coached by someone that was on reality TV. We all take the mick that isn't one of the best in the ring. For me, it was such like a no-brainer to have them paired together. So listen, I loved their stuff at NXT, their feud, even their return, the talking smack stuff. Yeah. I think you have to put The Miz on the list of shaping Daniel Bryan to be one of the biggest baby faces in the company, because every big baby face needs that heel. And for me, to make Daniel Bryan as beloved as he was, as naturally funny, we needed that annoying guy we all hated. And that was The Miz. So when I was thinking about this, when you posed it, I was like, listen, from an in-ring stance, none of their matches were good. Unfortunately, none of them.
I would say the 2010 Night of Champions, their first match for the United States Championship, that stole the show at that show. And that's I would still go back and watch that matchup. It was really good. And I would argue that their SummerSlam 2018 match was the best match on that show.
By good, I meant obviously good, but they aren't like some of these names on these lists. I'll be choosing purely because the in-ring matches were off the charts. This wasn't off the charts. No. This was good. It was good. But yeah, I don't think it was like off the charts. And when I think of Daniel Bryan and The Miz, it isn't their matches I remember. It's their promos, the NXT run, the everything that went into it. The SummerSlam moment with Miz standing at the ramp thinking it's going to be him and Bryan comes out. I mean, for me, yes, you've got it. And it just does make me think WWE really botched that rivalry when Daniel Bryan came back, because it should have been one of the biggest things. It should have been the first match of Bryan's return should have been against Miz. Like it had to be against Miz. Talking back to their talking smack promo and their war of words there. I think it had to be. It should have been Miz. And listen, I don't know how many times The Miz will come up on a Mount Rushmore, but for this, I think it's deserved. And I was worried when I brought it up. I was like, is wrestling purist SB3 going to get angry with me? But the fact we're in agreement does make me happy. And yes, we got one here from Jeff Samuel who says, we can't. Louis is right. Thank you.
You are. Like the only thing that is an argument against Miz being on this Mount Rushmore is that we never got a proper blow-off to their rivalry. Like, we got the blow-off in 2010. Like I said, the Night of Champions match was great. Bryan win the U.S. title. Awesome. But we got the reheating of this rivalry with the Talking Smack. Like, it just begged for a big-time matchup. And if they were going to save it for SummerSlam 2018, I'm sorry. Don't continue it after SummerSlam 18. You have Daniel Bryan win there, and that's the end of the feud. So they have a memorable blow-off to their rivalry. They tried to continue it on, do the mixed tag match with Miz and Maryse versus Brie and Bryan. That kind of watered it down. And then eventually when they got to Australia at the first Super Showdown, they have a 2-minute matchup that Bryan rolls him up, and then he moves on, and then he turns heel a month later. So it's like, what? We never got a proper ending to this rivalry. That's the only thing against it. But Miz is so important to what Daniel Bryan, like the building blocks of Daniel Bryan's career and his return to wrestling. Yeah. Miz has to be included in the Mount Rushmore for sure. That next name I was going to say,
while you say this, I'm going to have to let my dog out because he's in my room and he's barking.
Go right ahead.
I keep having to mute myself, but go on. I can hear you, so tell me who number three is.
So, yes, we got Nigel, we got The Miz. Speaking, you know, I talked about The Miz. They never got the proper blow-off. They never got the proper ending to their rivalry. One person who was another real big one as far as, like, story and character shaping Daniel Bryan, you got to say Triple H. Triple H represents the entire authority, and the authority versus Daniel Bryan is one of the most, like, surprising, best rivalries of the past decade. Like, that was the really – that gave Bryan all this momentum, that made him the ultimate underdog, them calling him a B-plus player, him overcoming the odds at SummerSlam 2013, defeating John Cena, despite Vince McMahon saying that he shouldn't be the WWE champion, and then Triple H turning on Daniel Bryan, pedigreeing him, leading to Randy Orton cashing in Money in the Bank. I could have included Randy Orton in this spot, but I just feel like Triple H was always the person who was against him. From that moment at SummerSlam 2013, he was the one that stripped Bryan of the title after Night of Champions when Bryan beat Orton. He was the one that made Shawn Michaels the special guest referee at Hell in a Cell in 2013 that cost Daniel Bryan there. He's the one that Bryan had to beat to even get to the main event of WrestleMania. So Daniel Bryan and Triple H, like, Triple H has to be on this list. And you could say Triple H, or you could say just the authority, but I feel like Triple H is the face of the authority, so he's the one that belongs here on the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, I would. So when I thought about this, my mind went to authority, not Triple H, because I think I wanted to include Randy Orton in it, and I didn't think Randy Orton deserved it on his own. So
you could argue, because he had that rivalry with Daniel Bryan when Daniel Bryan didn't want to be the weak link in Team Hell No. And then they had the partnership where they were going against the Shield. They had the great no disqualification match on Monday Night Raw before they even get to their WWE championship run. So Randy Orton, he does have a case to be on this Mount Rushmore.
He does. He wasn't in mine. So I think, like, for me, it kind of worked to have the authority there. But yeah, I had Triple H. Hands down, I think I've always said this. The first match of WrestleMania being Triple H and Daniel Bryan made the main event what it was. The fact he had to gun through Triple H. I don't think the match is the same if Daniel Bryan's just in the match. I don't think WrestleMania 30 is as good as it is if Triple H doesn't cost him when he wins the title at SummerSlam the year before. I think all of those factors shaped what sort of the Yes-O-Mania and everything that went into it. And I think Daniel Bryan, the reason we all loved him was because we all hated the authority as well, and he was just the antithesis to that. So, yeah, I do think that for sure Daniel Bryan is one of his greatest rivalries is with Triple H and the authority. For me, number two on my list, and I haven't done this in any order, so just the second one, it's Kofi Kingston.
Wow. I thought about him, but like I can't make an argument because it's literally just the WrestleMania matchup, and it's the fact that this wasn't the plan. Like, I know authority.
But also, WrestleMania 30.
I know that wasn't the plan, but that's the rivalry. We did have a rivalry built in.
We did.
It was easy to go to there. Kofi Kingston was something that just kind of came out of the woodwork for them.
So the reason I've gone for Kofi is because for me, it shows a different side of Brian. It was, yeah. I wanted someone in the Brian Hillturn era. So part of me was going to go for AJ Styles, because that's who he sort of got his heel turn over with. But I am going to go for Kofi Kingston, because I think it showed a different side to Brian, where Brian's like, you know what? I can play the heel and I can be the one to get the next big baby face over. And I think that is where fans started to appreciate how versatile Brian was, how he is this complete wrestler. He isn't just the underdog baby face. He can be the heel. And I think Kofi Kingston really helped with that. And I don't know whether, listen, for me now, if we didn't have that Kofi Kingston run, I'd say wherever Brian goes, he's got to be a baby face. But now, because of that Kofi Kingston feud and that heel run, I'm thinking he could be either. He works well as both. So yeah, for me, it's got to be Kofi for me anyway, just with how different it is to a lot of the other feuds. A lot of everything we're going to speak about is how these heels were great to work with Brian, how Brian was the great sort of babyface, the underdog babyface overcoming these heels. For me, I wanted to include someone different. And I do think putting Kofi Kingston on that list as someone that Brian was able to show what he can do differently and put someone else over, which I'm sure Brian would have loved just as much as his WrestleMania 30 moment. So, yeah, for me, I am going to go for Kofi.
Wow. I did not expect to hear that. But, I mean, you make a strong case for it. And, of course, the moment at WrestleMania is worthy of praise. So if it's just for that alone, yes, Kofi deserves a spot on anyone's Mount Rushmore. But I went a different route with my fourth one because, you know, I got Nigel representing the Ring of Honor. You got The Miz, which was the building blocks for what Daniel Bryan would become in WWE. Triple H represents Daniel Bryan, you know, against the Authority and his rise to the top. But I needed someone to kind of capitalize, like kind of summarize his final run. From relinquishing the WWE championship to coming back, you know, the moment at WrestleMania 31, winning the Intercontinental Championship, getting to retire, and then coming back in 2018, who is the one person that represents that entire five-year run? Who was the person that WWE chose over Daniel? Roman Reigns. It might sound like recency bias, but literally, we've been building to these three series of matches, these three matches that we got this year for five years, because Bryan came back. And it was clear as day that we, the fans, chose Daniel Bryan to win Royal Rumble 2015. When WWE made the decision to put Roman Reigns in that spot, it created a rivalry that has been ongoing, whether they've been feuding or not. People have been talking about Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns for 5 or 6 years now. They had their moment where they even could have feuded when Daniel Bryan was a heel, when he was the planet champion, because if it wasn't for the Vintner, Eric Rowan being the person that tried to push the boxes on Roman Reigns, 9 times out of 10, everybody thought it was going to be Daniel Bryan. But it's really the series of matches this year that really puts it over the top. Their matchup at Fastlane was great. Their matchup at WrestleMania is one of the top 10 best WrestleMania main events, in my opinion. We got two of them this year, so be grateful for that. And then the matchup on SmackDown is one of the best TV matches of the year. And then you go all the way back to Fastlane in 2015 when this whole story started. That one was a banger. Like, regardless of any time these two men have been in the ring, they delivered a classic. It might sound like recency bias, but I think that Daniel Bryan has further cemented, like, Roman Reigns has been the top heel since he returned and had his whole, you know, revival as the head of the table and the tribal chief. But Daniel Bryan, you know, losing along with Edge to Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 37, along with this victory over Daniel Bryan on SmackDown this week, has firmly cemented Roman Reigns as the man in WWE as the top star. There is no debate. There is no, oh, maybe it's Lashley. Oh, maybe it's Drew. Oh, maybe Brock or Cena will come back. No, it's Roman Reigns, and Daniel Bryan deserves credit for that. So Roman Reigns is my fourth face on the Daniel Bryan Mount Rushmore.
So I was very close to going for Roman. Very close. It was between Roman and Kofi, and I did go for Kofi. But my number four, and I don't know whether it was, yes, the feud, but the feud wasn't amazing. It was kind of like what happened before then. I've gone for Kane. Yes, now I've said it, I'm like, Roman Reigns is a far more convincing argument. But for me, Kane was just, it really helped Daniel Bryan. Maybe this is more a Mount Rushmore of who influenced the Daniel Bryan character. But that Team Hell No character, that Team Hell No to the obviously Team Hell Yes, that gimmick, that whole storyline was so good. Them even reuniting in 2018 when Bryan came back for that run was cool. I really enjoyed where every time I saw Kane and Daniel Bryan, and it's knowing how polar opposite they are inside the ring and outside of the ring as well, with their political beliefs, their outlooks on life, knowing how different they were inside and outside the ring, and then just how it worked so well on TV. I did go for Kane because their feud was never amazing. Kind of got like muddled in the authority stuff. Like, it was good, but it wasn't sensational. But yeah, I've gone for Kane just for overall influence on Bryan's character and making Daniel Bryan what he was. I think Kane was really influential in that.
And we literally got a blow off. We didn't get the blow off in the Miz feud, but we got a blow off in the Kane and Daniel Bryan feud because that was his first challenger after he won the WWE championship at WrestleMania 30. So it's a good case. I would say like probably Kane would be my honorable mention to my four on my Mount Rushmore, because I do agree with you. He very much is responsible for shaping the career of Daniel Bryan and really, really giving him that push up to the top. Like, he really was kind of the bridge between Bryan just being one of the guys or one of the upper mid card guys to a main eventer. And the Team Hell No run is very responsible for that.
Yeah, and listen, we've had very little disagreements. Anyone that we didn't mention on the other one's list, we kind of like sort of could see the points of. So look at that, me and you agreeing. But yes, I want to touch on some other bits of news before we head out of here. And actually talk about NXT last night, which kind of got lost in the Daniel Bryan news, because NXT was a very good show last night. I really enjoyed NXT. Talk to us about some of the highlights. So obviously we started with Isaiah, Sir Scott and Leon Ruff, where we kind of have this new faction debuting. So talk to us about that.
I very much enjoyed this match, and it surprised me. Not saying that I don't enjoy the work of Isaiah Swerve Scott and Leon Ruff. I enjoyed them a lot separately. It's just I've seen this matchup way too many times, and Isaiah Swerve Scott literally wins every single time. So it's like, this feud is over. Why do we need it again? And they proved why we need it again, because they could deliver a awesome opener. It was probably one of the most fun matches that I've seen on WWE television this year. Just a lot of great spot, a lot of cool innovation. Leon Ruff, I would say this is the best he's looked. And yes, I'm including his entire run as North American champion, because he did not look good there. So this was the best that Leon Ruff has looked. And I like the finish with Leon Ruff going on fire. Those twisting cutters off the top ropes to the floor was ridiculous. And it looked like he was going to do another one off the scaffolding. And then AJ Francis, aka Top Dollar, aka the host of the new WWE A&E special, most treasured, most hidden treasures or something like that. Yeah. He was the guy that came in, grabbed Leon Ruff, gave him an attitude adjustment on a barricade, which led to Swerve hitting the JML for the victory. I think that this is cool for Swerve to be a leader of his own stable, and with new superstars that he can kind of like give experience to and put them on the map. But I feel like NXT has kind of gone overkill on heel stables, because now we have Swerve stable, we have Imperium, we got Legado del Fantasma, we got The Way. Like, there's an excessive amount of heel stables on NXT right now.
And Diamond Mine possibly as well when they come in. So yeah, I think it is cool as well. The fact that obviously the people that he's aligned with are all African American as well, I think is quite significant looking at it. And in terms of like what that says, I think like you said, WWE has looked at obviously breaking up Undisputed Era, who were the every time WWE needed a heel faction, it was Undisputed Era. And I think part of them has crapped the bed and been like, oh, we need a heel faction. Let's make like 13 of them. But yeah, that was a great way to open the show. The show was also great throughout, but it was capped off by the way defeating Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart in an incredibly fun street fight. I really enjoyed this match. So we have new women's tag team champions, NXT women's tag team champions, the third ones in Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae. What did you think about the match and sort of the title change? Did you see it coming?
No, I did not see the title change coming, mostly because we've already had two women's tag team champions in the first 2 months of the existence of these titles. So a third kind of seemed off, but it made a lot of sense for Indy and Candice to win here because they kind of have all the story. Shotzi and Ember have kind of been depending on the way to be the story for them. So unless they were going to make a change here, there was no kind of continuing the rivalry. So the way you needed to win here so we can continue on with Shotzi and Ember in some type of fashion. I love the backstage segment with Candice and Indy with Dexter leaving the painting for Indy and then standing at the door with flowers and Indy never seeing him and Candice kind of avoiding that. That was very fun. They've really recovered the whole Index storyline for me, which has been really good the last 2 weeks. And like you said, that was just a fantastic close to the show. It was just so much good wrestling, so much fun action going on. Even my daughter loved it. My daughter loved it.
I was going to say, your daughter liked this match, it sounds like.
My daughter loved it. The cool spot by Shotzi off the scaffolding through the announce table was awesome. And then the finish with Candice getting the victory, Candice LeRae winning her first NXT gold. Just a perfect ending to the show.
Your daughter definitely seemed like she liked that one. Must be said. While I let you take care of your daughter for a meantime, we'll just wrap up with this Ultra chat. WrestleScope says, "Dear God, Louis, are you still drunk? Kofi, Kane, no mention of Bray Wyatt. Plus, the fact that two shows in a row, you walk out mid-show. Come on, Nugget, be better. Daniel Bryan will not leave WWE. Vince will not let it happen ever." Okay, I feel like I've been attacked by WrestleScope. But let me defend myself on all fronts. Right. I think the Kofi Kingston feud, the Daniel Bryan feud was very good. Like, very, very, very good. I enjoyed it very much. I don't know how influential that was to the Daniel Bryan character, the overall enjoyment of Daniel and the overall character of Daniel Bryan. Do I think that, for example, all Daniel Bryan's, like, do I think WrestleMania 30 is as good as it is without Bray Wyatt? Yeah. I think it didn't take away any of the enjoyment. For me, Kane made Daniel Bryan as lovable as he was. So that's why I put him there on my list. Kofi showed a different side to everyone that SP3 and I mentioned on that list. He allowed Bryan to show what he can do as a heel. And I think that is important. He was the only one that was sort of he played the Daniel Bryan role. Kofi Kingston, exactly. Realistically, Daniel Bryan in that feud was the Triple H. Like, making Kofi go through the gauntlets. He was the Triple H, making Kofi jump through hoops to get that title match. So I think to be able to flip the switch was absolutely fantastic. In terms of me leaving mid-show, I needed a wee and my dog was barking. So enough of that. And yes, when I said that Daniel Bryan would not let Vince leave, Vince will not let it happen. Daniel Bryan will not leave WWE, Vince will not let it happen. I stick by that claim in terms of Daniel Bryan wrestling elsewhere. I think there is a very little chance, and we have seen it reported, that WWE doesn't work. In terms of these contracts expiring, remember last year when Drew Gulak's contract expired?
Yeah, for like a week, and then he came back.
Remember when Brock Lesnar's contract has expired now? I don't think this is a huge deal in terms of, oh my God, Daniel Bryan's gone. As I said, I think his future, whenever that is, lies with WWE. So I stick by that claim. And if I'm proved wrong and he turns up tonight at the end of Blood and Guts and whatever, I will be shocked. but I don't think it's going to happen.
Guys, I don't see that.
Guys, thank you very much for joining the show today with myself and SB3, talking all things Daniel Bryan and a little bit of Tessa Blanchard in the middle as well. Thank you for all your Ultra Chats as well. I believe that's the last of them. It is indeed. So you can check back tomorrow on the Wrestling Daily YouTube channel, where it'll be Stephanie Chase and Alex McCarthy talking about Blood and Guts, where I'm sure that's all Stephanie and Alex will be able to talk about on tomorrow night's show. And any big news that breaks, maybe, I don't know, John Cena will turn up in AW or whatever big wrestling news is going to break. But yeah, guys, we will be back tomorrow with that. And then Alex and Adam Pearson, special guest Adam Pearson, will be on the Friday show. So thank you all very much for watching, and we will catch you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.